What is peer pressure? What does the Bible say about it? And how can we overcome it? Well, let's begin by talking about what peer pressure is. It is pressure by our peers, people who are the same age, the same status, or the same ability. When we normally say it, though, we mean those of the same age. It's like a boy who was at school and he wanted to be accepted by the cool group, and the cool group smoked cigarettes, so he thought he needed to smoke cigarettes to be cool. That's what peer pressure is. It's like some of the cool kids start wearing shoelaces that are different colors, and the other kids that want to be cool and in that group, they start wearing shoelaces that are two different colors just like the rest of them. Usually, though, when we think about peer pressure, we think about negative peer pressure, but there is also positive peer pressure. Positive peer pressure is like the really smart girl at school, and she doesn't cuss. So the other girls at school that want to be really smart, they don't cuss either. That's positive peer pressure. Well, why do people give into peer pressure, both positive and negative? Well, it's because they want to fit in. They're worried that others might make fun of them if they don't go along with the group. Sometimes it's because of curiosity. Everyone else is doing it, so I'm going to try it too. And sometimes it's for personal gain, whether it be with a job or a promotion or getting a certain boyfriend or girlfriend or being popular or other things such as that. Turn your Bibles over to Galatians chapter 2. I want to show you on one occasion when the Apostle Peter gave in to peer pressure. Galatians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. Galatians 2, 11 and 12. Now, Peter, named Cephas, was at Antioch where Paul was, and they were preaching and teaching the Gentiles. And we read here, "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision, that is the Jews." And so here was the Apostle Peter, sometime after becoming an apostle, after Jesus ascended into heaven, after receiving the Holy Spirit and able to do miracles, he was with Paul and preaching and teaching, and he was eating with the Gentiles and all of those types of things. But when people came from Jerusalem, those individuals who were noteworthy among the Jews, he stopped doing that. Because of the peer pressure put upon him by the Jews, he gave in to fit in. Afraid that he wasn't going to be a part of that popular group anymore, and the Apostle Paul confronted him face to face because this was wrong. People do these things to fit in. Some adults drink at the office and go to bars so that the boss and other co-workers will like them. Maybe so they will get a raise, or maybe because they want to get certain customers. Also, some young people drink and do drugs to fit into a certain group and not to be made fun of. Well, what does the Bible say about these things? The Bible really doesn't say anything specifically regarding peer pressure, but it says a lot about these things in principle, and we're going to look at some of those things today. Peer pressure is a form of temptation. So when we talk about peer pressure, we want to talk about temptation. Now let me give you a couple of more illustrations. Here's a couple of statistics. Time Magazine, June 3rd, 1991. A study of sexually active college students found that 46.3% of the women and 62.7% of the men reported having had unwanted intercourse. Peer pressure, coercion, and intimidation all led students into situations they later regretted. One other, George Mason University. Alcohol abuse is the number one health problem among American teenagers. According to a recent study at George Mason University, alcohol is a major factor in 41% of all academic problems and 28% of all college dropouts. It comes as no surprise to no one that peer pressure is blamed. Peer pressure puts us into tempting situations. Many a college student has had premarital sex because of this temptation and the great pressure put upon them. We'll look in just a few moments at some recourse that we have to avoid this pressure. And also, many drop out of college because of the pressure to drink and that drinking and alcoholism to lead them to drop out of college because of all of the pressures which they have. Well, the first point I want to make with all of this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. As we talk about temptation, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The message here is that we can overcome peer pressure. Young people, this is a fact. You can overcome peer pressure as a Christian. There's never a time when you have to give in to it. Notice what the Apostle Paul says here. No temptation has overcome you but such as is common to man. Young people, realize this. You're not the first to be in that situation and you're not the last to be in that situation. And there have been others before you who have overcome it, and you too can overcome it. That's because the Scripture now says, and God is faithful. What does that mean, God is faithful? God is not going to let you down. God is not going to allow you to be put into a situation that you cannot overcome peer pressure. What else does it say? Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So God is always going to have a way for you to get out. And I hope you've talked with your parents, and your parents have talked with you about ways that you can get out of peer pressure. Here are just a few. Never lose your sense of humor. Making a joke, perhaps that I always get caught when I do something wrong, it's better that I not do it, because I'm going to get caught, and if I get caught, all of you are going to get caught. Oftentimes, using humor and making a joke of a situation gives us an easy way out. Another one that I use quite often with our kids is I allow them to shift the blame. I tell them that they can blame me anytime they want. Somebody may call them up and want to do something, and I'll ask them, I'll say, do you want me to tell you no? You don't have to say no all by yourself. I'll tell you to say no, and you can blame it on me. I'll take the blame for that. Here's another one. Be confident. Romans chapter 8. Turn your Bibles over there. I know that was our scripture reading this morning, but I want you to look at this, just two of these verses with me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Be confident. Be confident in the situation. Be confident that you can overcome it. Be confident that God is going to help you. Be confident that there is a way of escape. And do not allow fear to manipulate you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. And so we know this, and we are confident that something good is going to come out of this situation. Even if it's just that I have survived it and I'm stronger because of it, something good is going to happen. Now look at verse 37. Verse 37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. Your translations say that we may be more than conquerors. In other words, this is the point. There is never a situation where we cannot conquer sin and temptation and peer pressure to do the wrong thing. Never, never, never does that situation ever occur or ever arise. And so let's be confident when faced with peer pressure that we can overcome it, that there is a way of escape, and that I can survive whatever it is that has to be survived. I can do that. Some things to remember others have overcome the peer pressure, you can too. It is a matter of self-will. If you want to overcome it, you will. And God will help you. And there is always a way out. Turn your Bibles with me now over to Matthew chapter 6. And the point here is to pray about it. And don't wait until the peer pressure comes about to start praying about it. Now, when it comes about, praying is a good thing, but don't wait till then to start praying about it. Notice here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, here Jesus is teaching the disciples to pray, and he says to pray this way, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And young people, you need to be praying that. Old people, we do too. We need to pray that God not allow us to enter into these tempting situations. And when He does allow us to enter into them, that we are delivered from them. Now, God has promised. He's not going to let us get into a situation we can't get out of. He's not going to allow us to get in a situation that is just too much for us to handle. There's never going to be a situation, young people, that you get into that you are not smart enough to get out of. If you want to get out of it, that's God's promise. Now believe that with all of your heart, and you will overcome it. Go over to chapter 26, Matthew chapter 26, and verse 39. Matthew 26 and verse 39. Here Jesus and the apostles go into Gethsemane, and Jesus is about to be betrayed by Judas. And this is what he says to the apostles, beginning in verse 39. "And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying," this is Jesus. This is Jesus in his prayer to God. "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Verse 40. "And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" And so Jesus taught the disciples how to pray about temptation. And then he taught the apostles. And here was Peter saying, "Peter, pray that you enter not into temptation." And what happened just a few hours later? Peter succumbed to temptation. And he cursed. And he denied Jesus Christ 3 times. What was the solution? Pray about it. Now the spirit, the flesh was weak and he was tired and he was sleepy. But the solution was pray about it. Young people, old people, do you pray about temptation? Do you pray about peer pressure? Young people, you know what it is, peer pressure. And you know the things that are happening in your workplace, in your school, and what other people are doing and what other people are trying to get you to be involved in. Are you praying about it? Are you praying specifically about it? Are you praying about the pressure to take drugs and to drink and to be drunk and to smoke and to use tobacco and sexual immorality? Are you praying about it, and are you being specific about it? If you're not, you're really missing out. You're missing out on what part of what God has given us to overcome these things. And I encourage you to pray about it and to pray about it every day. Perhaps make a habit every night. Pray about it. Perhaps make a habit every morning when you get up. Pray about it before you go out into the world and you have to deal with these things. Turn your Bibles with me over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And the point here is, if we do not desire the sin, it will not be pressure. There will not be pressure upon us to engage in it. James chapter 1, it all has to deal with desire. James 1, beginning in verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." Now, why is it, do you think, God cannot be tempted by evil? Because God does not desire anything that is evil. So God is not tempted by it. Now, young people, I understand we are all tempted. We all have these desires. But we have to do our very best, as Paul says in In Romans chapter 12, and I believe it's verse 9, abhor evil. So that it makes you sick to your stomach to even think about it. Here's an illustration for you. A girl went out with the most popular boy at school. He wanted to have sex and said he would dump her if she didn't. Some girls would feel pressure to have sex, but this girl didn't because she was so opposed to sin and she dumped him and didn't think twice about it. Why was that? Why for her was there not pressure upon her to give in to him because she was so opposed to sin? Because it was so abhorrent to her, wasn't a problem. If that's the way you feel about it, you're out of here. I'm going to have nothing to do with you, and I don't care one bit. It's all about our attitude. If we don't desire it, there's not going to be pressure. If we abhor it, if it sickens us, it's not going to be pressure upon us to engage in those things. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Again, another scripture that you know so very well. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. Young people, why is it that these things are pressure upon us to give in and engage into them? It's because there's part of us that's still loving the world. And I know there's temptation. I know we're always going to have temptation. I know we're always going to struggle with these things. I know, as the Apostle Paul says, there's going to be a war within our members in doing those things. But avoiding it and relieving that pressure that's in our life, love God and hate sin. And the more we do that, the less these things are going to cause us pressure and problems in our life. Turn your Bibles to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on these things, on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Do you get the message? Don't set your mind upon the alcohol and the cigarettes and the drugs and the premarital sex and all of these things. Don't put your mind upon those things. Put your mind upon heavenly things. And then when someone tries to coerce you or pressure you into doing these things, you're not going to want to have anything to do with those people or the things that they're trying to pressure you into doing. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. All of us must be prepared. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Indeed, this is one of the key roles for a parent, is preparing a child to go into the world and deal with these pressures. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds, or gird up your loins. It means the same thing. Prepare your minds for action. Be sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. And that's what we need to do. We need to be prepared. There was a young man who was at work, and he knew as his co-workers would go out and drink that they again were going to try to get him to go out and to drink with them after work, and he prepared in advance. What did he do? He prayed about it. He made up his mind he was not going to enter into those things, and he decided in advance what his response would be. Young people, when someone tries to get you to do these things, do you know what you're going to say in advance? Do you know what you're going to say in advance, what your response is going to be, or do you wait till the last second when all the pressure is upon you, and then you try to think of something? And you can't think of something, and so it's really easy to give in. We need to be prepared. You need to think about these things. Ask others, how do you deal with this? Ask perhaps young folks who are a little bit older than you, how do you deal with this? What do you say? What do you do? Talk to your parents. Parents, talk to your children. Let them know some things that you believe that can be done and what the answer can be in these situations. Choose your friends and activities carefully. Let's look at a few verses in Proverbs. Turn over to Proverbs 1. And again, I know that everyone here knows how important it is to choose our friends and our recreational activities. It's so very important, but we want to be reminded of that this morning. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. In other words, as we say in our culture, say no. And perhaps you do not need a better explanation than that is to say, no, I do not engage in that, and get away from that situation. Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. In other words, stay away from those people. Stay away from the things that they're associated with. I know that you can't avoid all of it. I know that you still have to go to school. Hopefully your parents have helped you to get into a good school that where some of that doesn't exist, if there is such a school. Choose a place to work where a lot of these things are not going on, where they are discouraged. Choose a place to work such as that. Stay away from it as much as possible. Turn over to chapter 13, verse 20. As we go through this, I want you to notice that young people, thousands of years ago, were dealing with the same thing. Verse 20. He who walks with the wise men, with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Choose your friends wisely. If you are choosing friends who are fools, and here a fool is someone who is not obeying God, then you're going to have problems in your life. Do not choose those individuals to be your friends. Turn over to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Proverbs 22, 24 and 25. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. Young and old. If someone has problems with their temper, that is a person you do not want to be around. That is a person you do not want to be around. Because there is a deep-rooted problem in their life, and that problem is sin. Do not associate. If you do, you're going to learn his ways, and you're going to have the same hot temper, and you're going to engage in the same sin, and you're going to have the same problems in your life. Now, expand that a little further. Do not associate with those engaged in sin, or you're going to learn their ways, period. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a scripture that I trust you all have memorized. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to see it again with your own eyes. Verse 33. Do not be deceived. Now this is the deception of the devil and evil men. They want you to be deceived. They want you to be deceived by thinking that if you associate with evil people, you're going to be a better person. You're going to be better liked. You're going to be better good looking. You're going to be more popular. You're going to have more money. Just watch any beer commercial. That's the deception of the devil. But God says through the Apostle Paul, do not be deceived. Bad company or evil companions corrupts good morals. And here's the message with this. If you associate with sinful persons, you're going to become a sinful person yourself. That's the way God has made it. Also, let's realize that the opposite of that is true. If you associate with good people, such as are assembled here, if you associate with good people, you're going to be encouraged to be a good person. That's the way you're going to learn to think, and that's the way you're going to learn to act. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Rhetorical question. The answer is no. If you're going to have a friend that's engaged in sin, for him to be your friend, you're going to have to engage in, or he's going to get rid of you. That's just the way that it is. Sinful people do not want to have good moral people around them. Why? Because light exposes darkness, and they don't want to be exposed. So to be friends with the world, you're going to have to be like the world, and that is engage in sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, a scripture we have talked about lately here, somewhat regular, but I think it's a good passage that fits this very well. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." So we have to leave those of sin. We can't be friends, close associates with them. Because if we do, we will become like them. Choose your friends and your social activities carefully. Fight back with positive peer pressure. Fight back with positive peer pressure. Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn over there, please. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. If we are not with the wrong people who are doing the wrong thing, we will not be tempted to do the wrong things with them. Do we understand that? If we are with the right people doing the right things, we will be encouraged to do the right things with them. It's who we choose to be with. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light," or the Spirit in your translations may say, "consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." Do not participate as if that's the way to go, that's the way to live, that's the things to do. Do not participate. If you do, you'll be just like them. Verse 12, "For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret." Young people, if you're in a situation and the lights are turned out, you know to get out. Because nothing good is about to happen. For example, school dances, turn out the lights. Why? You know why. Bars, turn out the lights. Why? You know why. It's up to us as Christians to find a good group, ones with good morals, where there is less negative pressure and more positive pressure, to be in that group. And to spend time with that group where we are encouraged to do the right things. And parents, this is our responsibility to provide such a group. Get that. Get that. It is our responsibility as we bring up our children in the training and admonition of the Lord and seeing to all of their needs, and those needs include social needs. If our kids don't have a good group of people to run around with, we have failed as parents. We have failed as parents. USA Today, teenagers 17 years old were polled. This teen panel brought together by USA Today recently offered the following advice for overcoming peer pressure. Now, this is from a secular view, but I want you to notice how closely related it is to the biblical view as has been presented already this morning. Stay in touch with adults. Jennifer, 17 years old, speaking of adults. They help you define your values as you define yourself. You need a great relationship with your parents and other adults you trust. In other words, young people, naturally, you respect what other young people say more than adults. Don't be deceived into thinking that. Your parents, good adults, good leaders in the church, have more valuable advice than your friends who don't know hardly anything of what they're talking about. Jason, age 17, network together. Have friends in a lot of different groups. In other words, don't be locked into just one group, because if that group goes off the deep end, you're probably going off with them. Have another group of friends, another group that you associate with. If one goes off the deep end, you're not left out there all by yourself. Molly, age 17, choose friends who are also individuals. She says, my friends and I are all our own persons. Stay an individual. Don't be in a group of people where they want you to be like the group. Be in a group of people that encourage you to be yourself. Not to just be what they want you to be, but they want you to be who you want to be. Airy, age 17. Treat your body like a classic car. When thinking about drugs and alcohol, ask yourself, would you put bad gas in your car? Would you slam on the brakes? Of course not. So if you know how to treat your car well, treat yourself well too. The last one, Mike, 17 years old, keep a sense of humor. It's the hottest commodity in high school. Being funny is your most important weapon. Humor is okay. Being funny is okay. Laughing it off and going off on your own way, that's perfectly fine. Sense of humor can help. If we stand firm, God will help. Young people, I want you to take this with you. I know I've talked about a lot of things. Remember this. If you will stand firm, if you will stand your ground, if you will not compromise your morals and what you believe and the way you've been brought up, the training and admonition of the Lord, God will help. We've already read Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together to good for those who love the Lord. In verse 37, but in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loves us. God will help. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Young people, you can overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Let me give you a couple more illustrations and I'll close the lesson. There was a girl at school. Her classmates wanted her to be homecoming queen. She said she could not be homecoming queen because she didn't dance. And the homecoming king and queen had the first dance. Said she told them she didn't believe that was right and she could not do that. And guess what? They changed the school tradition so that she could be the homecoming queen. A young man I know had football practice scheduled on Wednesday night. He went to the coach and he said, Coach, I cannot come to practice. On Wednesday night, I go to church. Do you know that the coach apologized to him and changed the day that practice occurred? Some of our own young people here have stood up for the right things. Other organizations have scheduled events when we normally have church, Sunday and Wednesday. And they've said no. Not going to participate in that. Not going to have anything to do with that. I've mentioned some of them on Wednesday nights and other times. The latest one has been Dawn. She's got two concerts on Wednesday night. I just had to write the school, the band director, and say, look, we're at church on Wednesday night. We're not going to be at those concerts. I think Dawn has just decided not to be in that band, just to forget the whole thing. But she'll be a better person for it. She'll be a stronger Christian for it. She's pleasing God because of it. Although I'm sure she'd really like to be in that band. She's going to pay the price for being a Christian. But God's going to help her. God's going to reward her. Just like all the other young people that's in our midst. He's helped them every time. and He will. That's the lesson. Don't let peer pressure ruin your life, and don't let it get you down. God will help you to deal with it if you'll stand firm and if you will not compromise your morals and your faith. God will help you. Well, we're going to extend the gospel invitation. There's also peer pressure not to be a Christian, isn't there? Peer pressure not to go to church. Peer pressure not to believe in spiritual things or ever say anything about God. That's the pressure. But we have to overcome that. If we do, God will help us. We're going to sing number 269, Nothing But the Blood. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become a Christian. And as a Christian, God will help you overcome all the pressures of this world to do the right, to do the wrong thing. And you'll do the right thing. And you'll be victorious because of your faith in Jesus Christ. If we can help you this morning, I want you to come to the front as we stand and sing.